Welcome to the June-July issue of Heart to Heart. The Illimitable Spirit by White Eagle. When we speak of spirit, we mean the whole universe of spirit, illimitable spirit. It is difficult for you with your finite minds to grasp what we mean when we speak of illimitable spirit. That power which expands beyond all time and space, and yet is also deep within each one of you. It is not given to everyone to receive that cosmic consciousness, but it is given to every one of you to be able to feel in your hearts simple love. Love all, for nothing is apart from God, away from God. Love life, my children. Be happy and thankful in the joy of living, in the consciousness of worlds supernal, which are so close to you. To God, nothing is impossible. But you must remember that God's way is not always your way. Indeed, it is seldom man's way. It is God's way. Therefore, my children, you will be happier if you will try to cultivate complete faith and trust in your Creator. We remind you of the demonstration given to the disciples at the time of the Transfiguration, when the Master took them up into the mountain, which means that he raised their consciousness and cleared their vision, so that they were no longer shrouded in the darkness of earth, but raised into the world of light. And in this raised state of consciousness, they saw those three illumined figures. They saw their beloved Master with his two companions, all radiant with the light of heaven. A demonstration to the disciples that the power from heaven was with them. They could see it in the light and the radiance of those companions of the Master Jesus. Now, when you are sitting in your healing and meditation groups, or when you are sitting quite alone for healing and meditation, as many of you do, first close your consciousness to your earthly surroundings. Close your eyes and rise in imagination to the mountaintop and think of those two companions, the companions of your spirit who are with you. Every one of you has a companion in spirit. But do not trouble yourself too much about the name of your guide or companion. Just be content to know that he or she is with you, particularly when you are taken up into the mountain, when your consciousness is raised into the world of light. You do not reach this higher consciousness by an intellectual process. You reach it only by love and by using the creative power deep within you, which you call imagination. You must develop this power of visualizing, of seeing, of building, of creating the perfect image in the higher worlds. The power of imagination must be cultivated, for it is the only way for you to reach that heavenly world and see for yourself the life which is lived on the higher level. In all work on earth, no matter what it is, the gift of imagination is used. Without imagination, a person is empty, closed. Open wide the door. Use your imagination. By imagination, we do not mean fanciful thinking. We mean creative power. We mean imagery of the highest possible kind. As you have lived on earth, as you have trained yourself to use the creative power of imagery and have cultivated an inward appreciation of the beauty of form, of colour and sound and perfume, so when you come to the world of spirit, you will find beauty manifesting, externalized in the world of spirit. Do not be bound down by earthly things. Do not be held down to earth by your little earth mind. In Egyptian days, the pupil learnt the meaning of the winged disc, which is indicative of the power which God has given to all his children to rise on wings of light into the world of spirit. The ancient wisdom which has been taught from the very beginning of human life on this planet, which is the same yesterday, today and forever. We can tell you nothing new. We can only revive in you your own ancient memories. Finally, we would remind you of Jesus' words when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did he mean by the I am? The I am is the divine spark within you, the true self. It is the pure spirit of God in you. I am the way means that you must follow the way which your inner light, the I am within you, guides you to follow. What a simple truth, but so profound. If you are true to the I am within you, the healing power will rise like a fountain from your heart and flow through your whole body and under the direction of your mind go forth to heal. We say direct it with your mind. Now the cultivation of the mind is important so long as you cultivate it in the right way. The divine spirit within you, which is gentle love, gives life. There must be balance, and more than balance, for the mind must be governed by the spirit. If you will remain positively true to the simple love within your heart, you will be used not only to heal sick bodies and minds, yes, and the very souls of men and women, but you will help to heal the whole atmosphere. If you are true to this healing work, you will heal the soil. You will cleanse the waters which are polluted. You can cleanse the very air on which you depend for life. You think this is a very wild statement, but nothing is impossible with God. And if you will only be true and loyal to that light, that love within your heart, you, working alone as an individual, or better still in a community, can be used to heal and cleanse the whole of humanity. When Sun and Moon Play Hide and Seek by Simon Bentley. I'm not sure whether this word is in the dictionary. but what one might call eclipsomania has been evident recently around the solar eclipse on April the 8th. Eclipses are always worth a look if you're lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time. Most of us are familiar with lunar eclipses, as they can be seen from the whole of the night side of the Earth when they occur. However, they are in fact less common than solar eclipses, of which there are always at least two a year. Many of them pass almost unremarked, as they are usually only partial and have a limited area of visibility. It is when a solar eclipse is total, a rarer phenomenon, that people are apt to get excited, and with good reason. It is an extraordinary spectacle. Whatever the weather, if we are on the path of totality at the time, it gets dark for a few minutes during broad daylight. Historically, eclipses have caused apprehension. It is said that in many parts of the world it was thought that during a total eclipse a dragon was eating the sun, and if so, one can hardly blame them for being scared. Hopefully, the quick reappearance of the solar disk calmed everyone down again. Having said that, people of power and influence paid much attention to eclipses as symbolic of major happenings or changes. The ancient Romans, a superstitious people, paid great attention to them, but one of the most memorable examples of the power that eclipses can exert over those who observe them is provided by no less a person than Genghis Khan, who, on observing a total solar eclipse somewhere in the wilds of Central Asia, thought it prudent to make major changes to his plans for the next stage of his conquest of that continent. All this, of course, begs the question as to how we should view them today. Pardon the pun. Astrologers, whether superstitious or hopefully not, recognize eclipses as agents of change. They tend to act as triggers, rather than themselves being the astrological illustration of some major event. They set off existing configurations, which indicate the potential for those changes or events. However much this can sometimes become a source of apprehension, we need to remember that evolution, whether of ourselves, our nations, or our planet as a whole, cannot move forward without major change. It is built into the system. Once we can accept this, eclipses become truly interesting rather than scary. The most important fact about eclipses is that they symbolize particular qualities of the relationship between Sun, Moon, and Earth. As viewed from Earth, their movements in relation to us and each other are well understood. Astrologically, we see them as symbolic of God the Father and Divine Mother. The Sun is the source of all life. Without it, we would not exist. The Moon reminds us of this by reflecting the light of the Sun to us when we cannot see it directly. The Sun vitalizes, the Moon enfolds. They work together. One could regard eclipses as events that help to remind us of their supreme importance, not least because they indicate symbolically what life might be like without them, if it could still exist. An eclipse of the sun robs us of its life-giving light for a short while, reminding us of the supreme importance of that light. An eclipse of the moon is a reminder that it, like us, depends on that light for light of its own. A solar eclipse cannot occur without the agency of the moon, a lunar eclipse without the agency of the earth. All three work together. So too must we work together, God the Father, Divine Mother, and us. Astronomically, there is perfect cooperation between star, satellite, and planet. Astrologically, eclipses remind us of the importance of our cooperation with our divine parents. Because eclipses happen beyond our control, they also serve as a reminder that it is not we, but the Great Spirit that is in charge, whatever. This is perhaps a particularly useful and consoling thing to remember in times of great challenge and testing. Whatever the trials and tribulations we and our planet face, always surrounding and upholding all, are the everlasting arms. Surrender to the Flame by Jeremy Haywood. It was my turn to take the weekly contact healing service in the temple, something I always look forward to. On this occasion, however, I felt out of sorts the morning beforehand, not at all as attuned to the healing power as I should like to have felt. I felt the responsibility of what I was being asked to do, but this did not seem to help me make the spiritual contact to invoke the healing power in a public setting. When the time of the service came, I rather hesitantly put on my blue robe, but resolved to give the service my all, however I was feeling. I walked up the aisle between the rows of chairs, partially filled by patients and healers, and stood before the main altar on which the light was burning. In those few seconds, a beautiful change happened that I will try to describe. My gaze was fixed on the flame as I stood there, hand on heart. I offered my heart to the flame. And suddenly I felt I was given the words that spoke themselves, rather than me speaking them. Looking at the flame, I found the unspoken words came, "Beloved Lord Jesus, I give you my mind. Beloved Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. Beloved Lord Jesus, I give you my soul." The words seemed not of my own devising, but almost as if I was given them to say silently in a voice that was from beyond me. And the light of the flame seemed to spread across the surface of the oil in the chalice and outwards into my heart. It was a moment of deep surrender, given like grace, and it changed everything. I felt the light of the flame inside me, and all the words of the service I was to say, so familiar, spread out like a carpet of gold before me. But the key was those words that said themselves, as it were, through me. Beloved Lord Jesus, I give you my heart, and so on. A thought that came from beyond me as I stood hand on heart before the flame into which I gave myself. And so I proceeded with the service, every word alive for me now with the light of spirit, easy and relaxed. I pray that this light of the flame was something we all shared. I gave thanks for this gift, so subtle but so profound, and somewhere I shall always remember it. The Healing Rays and the Planets by Joan Hodgson. Sitters in the White Eagle Distant Healing Groups will be familiar with the words of the healing service. The ancients saw and worshipped the sun as sign and symbol of God, and called upon the spiritual sunlight for strength, health, and healing. This is truth handed down to humanity from those great beings from the sun who came to the earth to guide infant humanity at the beginning of the cycle before the dawn of modern history. These great beings, both angelic and human, were the keepers of all the knowledge which must gradually be given to these young souls to enable them to live harmoniously in bodies which were becoming steadily heavier, denser, and less responsive to the spiritual sunlight. These young souls were taught repeatedly to look to the sun, not so much the physical sun, but the solar logos, the great spirit behind the sun, for all their needs. From this great solar being comes light and life, which, as it manifests, divides under the seven planetary lords into the seven rays, the seven colours, the seven musical notes. Although modern astronomers have now discovered 10 planets, and more will be found in the future, this does not alter the septenary system, which is a law of the universe. According to ancient wisdom, human souls are sent forth from God to go through the evolutionary process of descending into matter until every individual spirit is so deeply enclosed in matter that it is indeed a light shining in the darkness, gradually refining and irradiating it. So also, planets are born of the sun and gradually become more and more dense until the turning point is reached, when they increase in light and quicken in vibration to become once again invisible to mortal eyes. The lords of these seven rays, which come from the sun, are sometimes known as the sons of the flame, or the angels around the throne of God. From these seven rays, all creation comes into being. All mineral, plant, animal, or human life is permeated by these planetary forces. In the mineral kingdom, this penetration is a latent force awaiting development. In plant life, the quickening ray of the planet begins to manifest in more complex form. In the animal kingdom, there comes a certain blending and combining of planetary influence. And at the human stage, the soul represents a universe in miniature. The ray of the sun links the spirit directly with the solar logos, and all the planetary rays playing upon it intermingle to produce the myriad variations in physical, mental, and soul characteristics. The spirit of man, the Christ within, has so to rule his own universe that all the elements harmoniously combine to produce the perfect sun, man, or woman. The whole solar universe is so marvelously governed, the planetary angels so perfectly organized, each in their own sphere, that the tiniest detail of life is within the divine, immutable law. Minerals, plants, and animals all develop under the guidance and care of planetary angels. These angels range from the great beings round the throne right down to the tiny nature spirits who actually work with the earth and the precious stones and with the plant life. The animals have their own group spirits under whose direction they evolve. When, however, we reach the human stage, new conditions operate. In the Christian Bible, we are told that God made the human being in his, her own image, fashioning the human out of the dust. All the elements which, under the direction of planetary intelligence, create form, and then breathing into him the divine breath, the eternal sun life. In other words, God gives to humanity the seed of light, the power to develop an individual God consciousness, which will ultimately give it command over all planetary intelligences, first within the individual being and gradually throughout the universe. Humanity has also the gift of free will and knowledge of good and evil. The individual spirit knows the heavenly pull as well as the pull of the earth and must choose between the upward or downward pull. During its descent into matter, the pull of the earth becomes all-powerful, for it is seeking knowledge and experience. As the soul uses this gift of free will, the law of cause and effect comes into operation, as well as the other great laws governing human life: reincarnation, equilibrium, and opportunity. Although everyone is evolving along a certain planetary ray, for the soul to gain mastery, all the planetary principles must develop within, with one eventually predominating, just as children at school must gain a good general education before specialising. The spiritual zodiac may be likened to a vast photographic film or a recording on which all humanity's thoughts and actions are registered. Similarly, the aura of every human being is the soul zodiac, a replica of the heavenly zodiac, where every thought and deed is registered. Each soul carries with it this permanent record of the developments within its own universe, a universe which is being added to with every thought, action, and reaction. At a certain stage of its spiritual unfoldment, the soul learns to read these Akashic records hidden deep in the subconscious self. When it leaves the physical life, at the end of an incarnation, the soul withdraws further and further into an illumined state, returning, as it were, to the sun consciousness, its heavenly home. There it is able to read the records and to see a picture of its progress along the evolutionary spiral. It begins to realise the way in which the planetary angels act under the Lords of Karma, to bring to the incarnating soul exactly the conditions of mind and body and estate which have been earned and which will give the best opportunity for future development. As soon as conception takes place, the planetary beings within the soul's own universe begin to build the various bodies. The building of the body for the incoming soul, the division of the cells and their organisation under the influence of these planetary beings in charge of this growing child are part of the universe of the incoming soul. The karmic conditions of that soul are being interwoven in the physical cells as they develop within the womb of the mother to whom it has been drawn through past links. The child will be born at the exact moment when the planetary conditions in the outer world are precisely aligned to those of the world within. Thus, the horoscope of birth is a mirror of the soul, with its past, present, and future potentialities. But it can only be fully interpreted by those who have the key, a key which, according to ancient teachings, has to be turned in the lock 7 times. In other words, the horoscope can only be interpreted according to the level of consciousness which the astrologer himself or herself has reached. The deepest mysteries of the soul can only be understood and interpreted by a master who can read the planetary conditions in the aura. The sun spirits who sent humanity forth on its evolutionary path gave it knowledge of the use of healing, both of herbs and mineral substances, especially jewels. From ancient times, wise ones have studied the effect of plants and herbs on the human body and soul. And until comparatively recently, it was customary for herbal physicians to treat patients according to their horoscopes. Scientific developments discard the ancient teaching, dismissing it as mere superstition. But the age of Aquarius will bring back knowledge of the subtler cosmic rays and of the healing properties of planetary radiations in certain jewels, herbs, colours, and musical tones. People will learn how to use these in combination and by restoring the balance of planetary rays in the soul's own universe to restore harmony to sick bodies and minds. This is one of the principles guiding White Eagle's methods. In White Eagle's healing, harmony and equilibrium are restored to the soul body and order and harmony to the physical cell by the mental direction of coloured rays linked with the planetary angels. Sometimes the results are quite magical, bringing restored health and harmony into the whole life. If for karmic reasons the physical body cannot respond, the soul healing will still be carried forward to be built into a more healthy and balanced vehicle when the time comes for reincarnation. A Lithuanian Narrative by Edie Clifford. Edie came to Europe from the eastern United States to enjoy a photographic holiday in Lithuania and to stay beside a frozen lake. She explains what she found. I have come to understand that there is an etheric energy or consciousness behind the physical elements of nature. When I arrived at our resort, I wanted to connect with that level of experience and maybe express it photographically. It was the lake that drew me, but I knew I had to meet this frozen water on her own terms. Water will have a conversation with you. She will teach you to be adaptable, to trust. How to swim. But water has its own life and eventually will leave you to fend for yourself. On our second day, drawn by the fishermen, I stepped onto the lake, and she supported me, and has continued to do so over the last several days. She challenged me to feel her crusty and her slippery sides, to see the beauty in her spacious vistas, and the textured beauty of her layers, and the grasses she supports. As I walked, the rhythm of my body adjusted to her rhythm. My legs echoed her creaking as I strained to balance. She offered me a drawing tablet so I could make Enso circles with my hand. And yesterday evening, she invited me to dip below her surface so my body could feel her wintry essence. We have now closed our conversation, as we are both moving on, but I am filled with gratitude for the balance and equanimity that water in her frozen form has taught me. The Christ Blessing, a message for Whitsun and the Christ Festival, from a Sunday address by White Eagle. Beloved brethren, we come among you with love and are happy to talk with you, and also thankful that you will listen to us, for we work in the spirit spheres to help our brethren on earth to become receptive to divine light and to reach a fuller understanding of the purpose of their life. We come today to bring you a message which every human soul is waiting to receive, although not everyone is ready yet to understand it. This is not surprising when one looks out upon the world and sees humanity in such confusion. Chaos seems to reign everywhere, and men and women know not which way to turn to receive the help which they so sorely need. We come to bring this help, but it is a simple message we bring, and one which has been brought to humanity at the various stages of spiritual evolution by messengers or teachers from the Great White Lodge through the ages. We would explain that the Great White Lodge is the home of all advanced souls drawn together by the spirit of love and brotherhood. It is the working centre of the initiates of the white light, and is as real, indeed more real, than the little lodge we call the White Eagle Lodge here on earth. You earthly people would be amazed if you could comprehend the scope and magnitude of the activity in the Great White Lodge in the spheres of spiritual life. An activity which directs intelligent power and aid to all waiting and receptive men and women. Now, this is the most important point of our message. You dear ones on earth are all capable of receiving into your heart and mind the knowledge that is being projected from the halls of wisdom in the spheres beyond and above the physical plane at this particular time of the Whitsun and Christ festivals. The name Whitsun is itself self-explanatory, meaning a time when the great white light from the heavenly places is sent down to the earth, and the people, whoever they may be, who have trusting and loving hearts and a yearning towards God's truth will receive manifestations of this divine power. Jesus, who was one of the Christed ones, one who was fully receptive to the blessing of the Christ presence, told his disciples that when he left them, he would send them a comforter. And so they awaited the coming of this comforter, although they did not know who or what the comforter would be. They were all assembled in Jerusalem, which means a prepared place. Shall we put this another way? They were all within the temple of God, or in Jerusalem, the city of light. They were all with one accord in one place. Now the Comforter is often depicted as a white dove. Many of you here have seen this. When your clear vision or clairvoyance is active, you see in your meditations the form of a white dove coming towards you in a shaft of light. Many people interpret this dove as being the symbol of peace, and so it is in a sense, because this messenger does bring into your heart a sense of deep peace, a sense of at-one-ment with God. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am in the Father, and the Father in me." This is the object of your pursuit of truth, dear brethren, to realize your oneness with God. Truth comes only to the man or woman who has surrendered themselves to the incoming of divine love. In simple humility and trust in this almighty presence, God. Now, beloved brethren, we are drawing close to the Christ festival, to the full moon with the sun in Gemini, which is waxing now. And the Christ Spirit, the Christ blessing, is pouring down upon earth's humanity at this special Christ festival. Every one of you, if you will take time and trouble to attune yourselves daily, and even if only for 5 minutes on waking or at night before going to sleep, and will meditate on that divine spirit of love, you will be filled with light. The Comforter will surely, surely enter your heart, and you will know the meaning of the word comfort. You will know the Comforter. You will not obtain such comfort from any earthly source, although close friends who may be in harmony can help you to be receptive. Each individual must make his or her own effort and must know in his or her heart that this beloved, this divine Comforter is near, is waiting. It may come to you through a flash of illumination in the stillness of your heart, which will reveal to you the truth about God and creation. This is what you have to look forward to and hold in your hearts and minds, my children. This is the message which is coming to you at this Whitsuntide, on this White Sunday, the Sunday of spiritual whiteness, when the great white light from the heavens is concentrating upon humanity. Now, beloved children, we ask you to unite in the one spirit of the Christ love. Try to feel the presence of these great initiates from the White Lodge. And above all, the presence and the love of the Grand Master, the Lord Christ. This, my children, is what you must respond to and see with your inner vision or your higher imagination. What you imagine in this way is reality. It is not something which is wispy and non-existent. Imagination is real. What you see on earth is coarse and unreal in comparison. Now, in your highest imagination, meditate. See that glorious form. From the heavens above, this heavenly light, this white light, this sunlight pours down. In this communion, you are united. You are at one with your loved ones in spirit. Think the best, the purest, and the most lovely thoughts of these loved ones in spirit, and you will feel this at-one-ment. Lo, I am with you always. The white dove brings you peace. Peace, the peace of heaven. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father and Great Mother, for this outpouring of love. Amen. Our reading for the service today comes from the Gentle Brother. We should like to present to your imagination, because by this way you will understand that which is living in your midst, an open rose. A rose much larger than you are accustomed to see. This rose has its petals open to the sunlight. But the dew is upon those petals. And the fragrant perfume of this rose is the incense in this sanctuary tonight. Those unable to see these things cannot always believe they really exist. Such forms really do exist. In a higher world of life, we can assure you. They exist for those who are ready to believe, to see, to smell, to touch, and to feel their loveliness. All five physical senses have their counterpart. With the counterpart of your physical sight, your sense of smell, of touch, and we are going to say of taste, you may become aware of beautiful forms created by thought on the inner planes. Whose thought? You contribute a certain amount of thought substance, which is taken and woven into beautiful forms which live for a time, perhaps for eternity, on those higher planes. As you inhale the perfume, you will feel the blessing, the inspiration, which comes from the substance of which that flower is created. The rose is a symbol of that love, It is symbolical also of the heart of creation, the heart fragrantly pictured as upon the cross, the heart of love, or the rose of life, which will bloom on the cross of humanity when humanity completes its spiritual evolution, when humanity has become regenerated, reborn into the Christ man, the Christ woman. The rose then may symbolize the Christ mind. The rose depicted at the throat, or shall we say the upper part of the breast, where it sounds forth the creative word of wisdom, love, and power. To this end, we are all living. And now our prayer for humanity. Let us remember before God the great need of all humankind, and that we may pray to God, we have made quiet the fretful mind of every day. And we open our hearts to the Father, Mother God, and to Christ the Son, to the Holy Trinity of wisdom, love, and power. In the holy name of Christ, by the Christ light in the hearts of all people, we call upon the great angels of Christ. We feel their presence and their power, and we attune ourselves to the prayers of all men and women of goodwill. And being thus prepared and ready before God, with all the will of our minds, with all the love of our deepest hearts, we send forth the light. We send it forth as a great star of light, a star, a blazing star, withstanding, overcoming all evil, triumphant over darkness and death, a star of the Christ light. By all the power of Christ within, we send forth the light. And we hold within this great healing star all those areas of the world where there is suffering through conflict, especially Israel and Palestine, Ukraine and Russia. We hold the leaders and peoples of these countries in the great light of the star. And we remember those who suffer through natural disaster and through lack of food or water, and all refugees. And now let us hold in this great healing light anyone known to us personally who may be in need of healing or help. Silently we name them now. and we see them perfect in the heart of the star. Amen. Our meditation. The first path towards a deep peace is surrender. Surrender, first of all, of the body. A feeling of sinking down and becoming still. A surrender of the mind, letting the troubling thoughts go as soon as they arise, like flotsam on the surface of the ocean, floating away. Surrender of the feelings, so that only the feeling of approaching peace, of love, is there. And so this path lights the way, this path of surrender. And as we let go, so the inner light arises and illumines the way ahead. And is like a magnet for the flame of the spirit. Indeed, it is a flame arising within. A link with the great sun. So imagine that flame lifting up within your heart, becoming taller and taller, and reaching up towards the sun. Feel your inner self arising. The outer self surrendering. And this brings great peace. And in this peace is comfort. So once again, we can surrender into that peace. Imagine surrendering into the arms of someone you love. Surrendering into the aura of a master soul. All the hurts and trials of earth. Or you might see it as surrendering into water, becoming immersed in warm, enfolding, liquid light. That enfoldment comforts and allows all thought, feeling, sensation to be at peace. There is nothing to fear. In this surrender, there is nothing to fear in the circle of God's love. And lo, I am with you always. Feel yourself slipping into this deep, deep comfort, the comfort of the soul resting in the spirit of the divine. Comfort of a mother's arms. And then gradually allow yourself to come back towards your physical consciousness and physical body. Feel as you do that you bring back, indeed you have to because it's all interconnected, that deeper peace. Of trust and love and fearlessness, breathing back, and the body gets the message, the mind and the feelings get that message, that deepening message of peace. And so come right back now. Feel where you're sitting or lying. Feel your body strong. Strong in surrender and in trust. And seal your solar plexus with the cross of light in the circle of light. And your throat center. And we give thanks to the Comforter, to the Spirit of Peace, to the Light, to the Sustaining Light. Amen. Namaste.